Welcome to the Indian Silicon Valley podcast. I'm your host, Jibraj, and on this podcast, I speak with founders, investors, and domain experts from the Indian Valley, trying to understand the art of building a legendary company. In this episode, I speak with Revant Bhatte, the co-founder of Mosaic Wellness. Revant is a wonderfully thoughtful founder who has been through the full circle in the ecosystem, having been a part of some terrifically spectacular and diverse experiences. From building Fasus through its early days as an operator, to joining KStart as a partner and wearing the VC hat, to mentoring young founders and investing in them as an angel investor, and to starting Mosaic Wellness as the founder. Mosaic is out to build brands that holistically solve for the health and wellness problems of a consumer. Man Matters and Body Vibes are brands started by Mosaic Wellness to provide a full-stack solution to all problems related to our weight, skin, sleep, hygiene, performance, and others. This discussion with Revant brings out his candid and thoughtful self, which was a treat to observe. Through our conversation, we end up diving into a bunch of rabbit holes, including Revant's love for building products, the full-stack approach with Mosaic Wellness, how he has gathered a team of brilliant misfits to build the company, the structured approach to setting the right fundamentals, and most importantly, the 0-to-1 building mindset. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and I hope you do too. Let's dive in to the 54th episode of the Indian Silicon Valley podcast, The 0-to-1 Mindset, with Revant Bhatte of Mosaic Wellness. Thank you so much, Revant, for joining me. An absolute honor and pleasure for me to be able to host you.
Thanks, Jivraj, for being very, very persistent. Very happy to be here finally. And hopefully we'll have a fun conversation.
Absolutely. I don't doubt a bit on the latter part, but you're very kind with the first part of to begin the episode, you know, I thought it'd be lovely to just understand the fundamental causation of where your love for building products, building consumer D2C brands actually comes from, because your transition to Rebel was also something which was very exciting in nature. And your entire journey, as I like to call it, you know, you've gone the full circle, because when you think of the startup ecosystem, you think of three ways, right? The operator, the investor, and the founder, right? And you've been there, done that, and now you're on the founder journey to build like a 10-year solid, more than that hopefully, company, right? So can you perhaps tell us, you know, your love for the ecosystem and your love for building, where does that originate from? How did you perhaps discover it? And what is it that keeps it fueling more than, you know, starting it, to be able to do something for more than a decade is something which shows from your work as well. So I'd love if we can, you know, start with that.
So I think the love for the ecosystem is actually just me reciprocating the love that I've got from the ecosystem. And I'll tell you, this is a very important aspect that people are realizing now. I was lucky enough to get to be a part of it a little earlier in my career, right? So there are, I'm sure we have heard Steve Jobs and about, you know, misfits trying to sort of create value, right? I think there are a lot of different kind of people, you know, in the country. And I actually consider myself a big misfit. I've always been wired to sort of tinker around, right? And I'm not talking about tinkering with trains and doing something when I was a child. I was actually a horrible engineer, if I can tell you that, right? It's just that I have, you know, attention span of a child, if I could be very, very upfront about it, right? It's just that I love to context switch and do multiple things. I love to sort of go out and then swing a bat and hit a six and then move on. Like, kya tum, right? So overall, whatever I did, whether it was education, career, I always seemed to end up sort of a misfit in some cases. Not that I didn't do well, but there was something missing. And I think the opportunity that came with Rebel, which was then called Fasos, really opened my eyes to the fact that, okay, this is Mecca, right? This is Mecca for a misfit, right? Nowhere else apart from this ecosystem would people who just want to build and create get love as such, right? You go to a larger org, you know, you're supposed to just do this and just do that well and don't think outside the box, or just get this done, right? Dimag mat lagao kar kya, because your boss is telling you that and his boss is telling him that and so on and so forth, right? I think the ecosystem really loves people who want to create And if you can align with that early on, you would love this ecosystem. So I am actually thankful for the ecosystem to show me that aspect and give me that opportunity. It was with Rebel, and then Vani was kind enough to do that by helping me think about K-Start. You know, when I wanted to become an entrepreneur again, very privileged, but a lot of these VCs were keen to say that, okay, why don't you build this and we'll sort of, you know, figure out stuff along the way. So overall, I think it's that single metric that there is a certain kind of persona that really loves to build. And I think that persona is very welcome in this ecosystem. And it's like a mutual love and admiration, if you could call it that, right? So I'm very thankful for getting that exposure early on and sort of making something out of it, right? And the attempt continues. So yes, I mean, the attempt is to create something large in this stint as well. Whether that happens or not remains to be seen. But I keep telling a lot of other entrepreneurs as well that, you know, I speak to, I keep telling them that they should keep thinking long term, right? And it's okay if this attempt fails. Keep thinking big. Keep thinking about how do you really build something that can become, you know, 100 or 1,000. Don't think about just 10, right? And that's the kind of thinking that this ecosystem also values. Because there are a lot of people trying to do incremental stuff. Very few people can really get the home run, but there are that is also needed, right? That's where you create disproportionate value. That's where you create innovation per se. It's just a different way of thinking about things, which is something that we need to encourage a lot more about, right? And yes, failures do happen. In fact, there are far more failures than successes. And like, for example, in this stint also, at the ripe age of 37 and 3-4 years, we may find out that we have failed for whatever reason, right? But you have to be mentally prepared for that. And I think the ecosystem does take care of you if you're mentally prepared for that, right? I mean, I know there are a lot of cases. I've met a lot of entrepreneurs actually who failed and have not got the best landing, if I can call it, right? Either a good job post that, or maybe the second innings wasn't that great because they didn't get funding, or there have been a lot of these cases as well. But I think over a period of time, you'll see that also reducing. I think we are still a nascent ecosystem. I am a strong believer that if there are folks willing to take risks, if there are folks who are thinking of innovation and creating disproportionate value, trying to do things differently. I mean, maybe it was earlier, maybe 10 VCs and 10 founders. Right now, it's 100 VCs and 100 founders. In 5 years, you will have 500 VCs and 500 founders, right? Who will sort of encourage that thinking? So I think the love and the ecosystem will sort of, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? We'll keep doing that more and more. And that's highly, highly valuable because that's actually an infinite sum game, right? This is not a zero-sum game. So I think more and more folks are realizing that, but it'll be interesting to see how fast it evolves.
I love that, given that, you know, you speak about the long-term mentality and just being at it, right? Despite the failures and being able to be prepared for it. But the flip side of that is, you know, how fast you've moved as well. And I want to, you know, talk now about, I think it's been less than a year or maybe just like touching a year for Mosaic. And you've grown incredibly fast in nature. You've done so many things. You've built two brands now. I want to deep dive into all of that and, you know, couple it with the previous answer, if I may as well. But how is it that you have thought about, you know, building that full stack solution? If I look at something, let alone one brand, to be able to look at the approach that you've taken, right? Building products, then building services, and having that platform approach. Can you perhaps just talk to us about the thought process behind what went into just conceiving it? And then, of course, the things you're doing well or not so well for the execution side of being able to build that. So would love to understand from you what the thought process has been.
So see, the thought process was simple, that in the end, everyone acknowledges that getting healthier is something to aspire for and something to actually do, right? But it's just hard. Building habits, good habits, is the hardest thing that that exists, right? So how do you get a lot of the folks in India to start thinking healthier and then getting on to that journey and then staying on that journey, right? I don't think any of us acknowledge that it's something that we should not do. Sabko pata hai karna hai, lekin karta koi nahi hai. Because the other option is easier, right? Sabko pata hai ki signal nahi todna hai, but agar khali rasta hai, koi hai nahi, to tod lete hai na karke. So how do you stop getting into that situation? Now the problem is, India is a very hard country from an infrastructure point of view. So the earlier, all the earlier attempts at solving for health have actually been at a simpler layer, whether it is a product and then distribute it to available distribution channels, or it is a service where you aggregate existing resources available, whether it is doctors, diagnostic labs, etc., and then build a technology layer out and do it, right? And those are very, very good solutions, right? They're all good incremental solutions that will keep improving health and wellness in India. You can look at e-pharmacies, etc. It's just making it more convenient, more accessible, etc. But if you want to really make someone sustain on the journey to health, and we're not talking about chronic issues, or we're not talking about diabetes, ki aapko continuously aapka sugar monitor karna pad raha hai, and you know, all of those things. We're just talking about lifestyle issues, which is where the easiest slippages happen. You really need to handhold. You really need to be that health coach to the consumer and make sure that they don't slip off the journey. First, it's very easy to get onto the journey, easier than what is available today. Second, it's easy to stay on the journey, and it's sort of easy to continue the journey for a long time, right? So that's the very simple thought process, which really meant that you had to do things full stack. You just can't do something ad hoc and then leave the customer by making sure that, hey, I've given a nice letter to you. Please chhodna mat, yaad rakhna, mamma ne kaha tha, aapko healthy rehna hai, hum bhi usi ki tarah aapko, you know, request kar rahe hain. We don't listen to our mothers half the time. Yaar. Matlab, why would I listen to a brand specifically? So It's a very hard thing to do to build full stack in India because of the complexities that exist. But that is exactly why I don't think it's been done before, right? I think there's, like, if you look at CureFit, for example, beautiful way of trying to build full stack and controlling the entire end-to-end experience. Those are the, I mean, it may be harder for a CureFit to become maybe $10 billion in revenue because they're doing everything full stack. But that's okay. But that's far more fulfilling for the founders and the team to build that today, because they are actually seeing the journey of the person who's come in, started experiencing the product and service, and then continuing to use. Similarly, we thought that's how we want to build this out as well. And think about whether it is products, whether it is services, and specifically tackle a lot more of the lifestyle health issues that exist today for, let's say, Gen Z and millennial folks. And then we can expand from there. If we succeed on this, then we can do a lot more. What that required actually was to rethink how telehealth should be done. Should you have doctors who are doing this part-time and treat it as, okay, I have three more, apart from the 10 more patients that I see, I have three more patients just because this service has sent me these appointments and I'll talk to them. It's very little, it's impersonal, right? There's no higher amount of empathy involved because you can't blame the doctors, right? They're just so busy. There are like 25 appointments in the day. How do you flip that? How do you look at the healthcare system and say, if there are less doctors and more patients, and then it's become like a 2-minute conversation with less empathy, how do you flip it? Now, that's where we said, okay, let's build it in a different way where we sort of manage the entire bandwidth of the medical expert and make sure that there is enough time and put in a medical protocol which says that, yaar, 15 minute baat karo. Bhale Jivraj ka problem 5 minute mein solve ho gaya. Aap puch lo uske mummy papa kaise hain. You know, uske ghar pe kya chal raha hai. Life mein kuch. Just be there for Jivraj, right? I think that all of those elements will just accentuate the experience and make the person feel better, because that's what actually the medical health system is supposed to do. Unfortunately, our country has its infrastructure issues, right? There are less doctors, so kya karenge? Like, you can't blame the country or you can't blame the infra. But let's see if there is a better service and a better way to do this, and people are willing to pay for it, then why not give them that? It's like, you know, now it's, I don't think anybody's on Vodafone, but 2 years back, everybody was screaming about the fact that rates dropped with Jio and the network just couldn't connect. And there were a huge set of folks who said that, boss, 200 rupees mat lo, aap 1000 rupees le lo, but please give me a continuous connection all the time. So there is that layer who's saying that, hey, we want to get healthier and we want to invest in our health, but they're still not getting the superlative connect and service that they're supposed to get. And we are not talking about the elite. I'm not talking just about the credit customer, right? I'm talking about maybe 5% of India, and that's a large set of population, right? So we have gone about all of these, doing our own formulations, doing our own medical experts who are continuously available for patients, as we call them, and not customers. And doing each of these full stack required a team as crazy, I would say, for lack of a better word, at me, right? Who would say that, haan yaar, ye karte hain karke, ye alag tarike se kar rahe hain hum. This is great value for the customer. So we actually have 5 entrepreneurs and residents in the company. So when you ask, how do you build a complex business? You get folks who are as mad as you to want to build something like that, right? And I think most of our team, most of the first 20, 25 hires have all come in just because they thought the vision was decent and they felt, yeah, kuch alag banate hai karke. And I think I really pride myself in the fact that we managed to build out a team which thinks differently, right? Which is not afraid to fail, which is thinking big, which is thinking different. And that requires to sort of garner a lot more of these tinkerers, as you call it, from the ecosystem, right? Does not help to create a strong process-driven organization. But I think maybe in a year or so, we'll start figuring those stuff out as well. But the first year has largely been more about tinkering and trying to see if something like this works. Initial signs are customers are loving it. It's different. It's higher on empathy. It's higher on engagement. It's higher on community building. It's not today very scalable. I'll be very honest with that. So it's not something that a typical founder who's backed by top tier VCs would love, because the J curve is not very clear as of now, right? I'll be very honest with that. But I mean, we've all heard Paul Graham, right? We have done things that don't scale in the first year. Now we'll try to figure out how to scale some of them as well. And let's see where we get to.
I love that, you know, goes to show that, you know, the true entrepreneurial saying that, you know, you target those challenging problems and you build for those unsolved gaps and you target the most challenging, dirty problems. And that's what you're doing. You know, if that pathway has to be taken, then can't be, you know, a gloomy one where you see that exponential growth right from day one. So many of the things you mentioned are so amazing to hear. But the fact that you spoke about team briefly, right, and to be able to gather those set of people, there has to be something between the co-founders, right, to be able to do that, right? So in the next phase, I want to just understand more from you as to how were you able to not just gather the team, but also entrust the team with the responsibilities, with the vision, with the execution, and build out that space of vulnerability where everybody could not just trust each other, but work with each other and thrive. So it's been spectacular. So how has that been enforced within the team? How have you personally, you know, taken a back step if required and allowed the team to thrive in discomfort and just trust them with everything? I think I would love to know that.
It's actually a corollary to finding the tinkerers, right? Tinkerers hate authority. So I didn't mention that, but I have a problem with authority, which is why I was a misfit in most places. So you can't get in entrepreneurs in residence and micromanage them. You can't get in entrepreneurs in residence and tell them, hey, this is how you should do it. You figure it out, boss. Tumhara problem hai. See, you hire for great amount of ownership, and there should be some. Even if that's not very clear on day one, there should be the intrinsics where you feel that this person can become a great leader as well, and develop that person into a leader, because you may start out as an individual contributor, but gradually you have to build a team around you as well, right? So two things that I learned very, very clearly. This is how Jerry built out Rebel, right? I mean, we were what, 7-8 entrepreneurs in residence. Three of us moved on to start companies of our own. The other five are still there. Been at it for 8 years, and now they're designated co-founders in the company, right? Because they think like that. We never thought of ourselves as employees, right? And that's the core objective of how you build that team. So when, you know, we've gone about and onboarded the team, I continuously think of them as co-owners of the company, right? So you not only entrust them with a very independent role, because you have assessed for ownership and you have sort of built-in rewards of decent amount of stock options alongside that. So then all thing goes away. Then the conversations are around, you know, it's like you don't have one co-founder. You actually have 8 co-founders or 10 co-founders in the business. Right? And everybody's thinking like that. I mean, I love it. I want to be the most redundant guy in the company very soon, right? But that happens when more and more is taken up by the team. And that's essentially what we keep looking for as a spark in folks, right? Because I've learned the hard way. How much ever we may put founders on pedestals, honestly, most of the work is done by the teams. And I know at the lower level or the entry level, it would be more execution. But I think the role of leadership teams is not accentuated enough in this ecosystem today. Like at some point of time when I was thinking of starting a podcast maybe 2 years back, I said, I'll not have any founders on it. I'll actually have the VP marketing on it because I know sara insight uske paas, right? Founder to hafte mein ek bar usse baat karke insight leke fir kahin gyan de deta hai. actual insight to VP marketing ke paas hai, right? That's the true situation. I just get on a call once a week and I learn a lot more from them. It helps me make better decisions. But honestly, that's how it is, right? And a lot of folks who left Rebel who had worked with me in the past were the first few folks to join, right? Or Rohit, who's worked with me, Geet, who's worked with me. So anybody who I've worked with in the last 10 years, even before we got funding, even before the idea was clear, I made a call and said, boss, kya kar rahe hai, aaja kar, right? And they came, which is, I'm very fortunate to see them come and sort of help me build this out, right? So I think that's you need to be lucky or you need to have done something right to sort of get that sort of love from really bright young folks who are willing to slog it out 18 hours, 7 days a week. I mean, today technically it's chutti, but I can see the Slack channels and what most folks are up to, right? That ownership mentality, that thought process to build is what we over-index on, at least in our entire recruitment process itself. And I'm hoping that is also going to get instilled in that team. So they also look for folks like that. And I'm not talking about, I know there's a lot of gyan around sab log ek jaise mat kar do company mein. But I'm just talking about specific intrinsics on building mentality. Like we need some structure, we need analytical thought process, we need creative thought process, etc. So we do build a mix of that. Not everybody can be creative, not everybody can be analytical. We understand those mixes, right? I think we have a fair balance of right and left brain folks as well. Gender diversity, I'm very happy. We're at 50%, right? So we have a very diverse pool of folks, but there is one commonality that I will never miss. We have to build and we have to swing the bat as many times as possible. And boss, you know, hit the ball of the park. Chota nahi sochna, right? Every meeting, my push is boss, chota nahi sochna. But yeah, that's one commonality that you will find. People will not think small stuff, which is okay, which is, I think, how a culture of a startup should be.
Wow. I think, you know, when you mentioned that everybody from Rebel and everybody who's worked with you kind of, you know, joined you and, you know, came with you, I was just thinking in my head that this entire conversation is a testament to why they would do that. And I think that's the reason why this conversation is so beautiful in itself, because you as a person, I think, have that speciality, if I may call it that, to be able to attract such young folks and such great people around you and build it out. And that's a great cue. Maybe we can touch upon that a bit again later to the episode. But further, when you talk about, you know, the things which are qualitative in nature, if you can take a step back and, you know, also talk about the systems in place, right? Because you've spoken about the fact that you have had OKRs, you've spoken about the fact that there are multiple things in the organization that you do to be able to codify things which are non-compromisable, right? So how is it that you are able to, you know, let's say, do those things as well? And how important is it, like, to begin with? Because are you looking at this from an experiment perspective? Ki we'll see how this goes. We have a brief structure of where we want to reach 6 months down the line, but we can't enforce it given that the, you know, before you find the PMF journey or before, let's say it's too far off, you don't really know what's happening, right? Things take time to compound and things like that, right? So how have you been able to enforce certain systems, certain metrics, whatnot, right? To be able to objectively look at things and understand where is this rocket ship headed or what are the next steps?
So, I mean, we follow OKRs to the T as a process. The only difference from how Google has advised it, we actually benchmark performance also on OKRs. That's one difference. One different approach that we've taken from the traditional OKR system per se. I think we put it into quite soon. I think in the first quarter itself, the leadership had it. It took a quarter for them to get a sense around it, one more quarter for them to get comfortable around it. And then dhire, I think now about half of the org has it and it's going, you know, L-1 had it, now L-2 had it. Hopefully the next few quarters, L-3 also will get it, right? The system works because it focuses on inputs, right? It's just a very clear input metric system as to what is everybody supposed to work on. Anything, any output not achieved because the inputs chosen were wrong is a leadership failure, right? That's how it works, right? So I can't blame the SEO team if our organic growth is not great, if I didn't know what were the right inputs to be put in, or if we were not professional or we didn't get professional advice and sort of put in those metrics, ki bhai kis cheez pe kaam karna hai, right? So I think, for example, our marketing team, even in non-high growth quarters, actually did a great job because they sort of semi-achieved the OKRs that they had taken out. Now, could we have done better? When I looked at the OKRs and realized that, you know, I didn't set up the OKRs the right way. we could have done better if we had, instead of focusing on these five input metrics, focused on these five, we would have done better, right? So I think the OKR system also helps people become better leaders, because you sort of assess every quarter that, hey, is this the right thing to work on for right now, right? In fact, why every quarter? I was having a conversation with one of someone yesterday itself in the team, and I said, see, half the quarter has gone by and you've worked on these 10 things. But at least my assessment is you're not leveraging your time well in delivering larger impact, right? And that's because the stuff that you're working on is taking up a lot of your time, but it's not moving the needle as much. And you know, how much ever you focus on inputs, you also need to be aligned with, hey, output thoda aa raha hai. There are some wins, right? There are small wins that keep people motivated and happy. Because constantly, if you are inputting, but nothing output is coming, then there is a little dejection bhi ho jata hai. So I saw that and I said, let's balance it a little. Why don't you work on these two things? I know 45 days over your quarter, pe, but thoda adjust kar lete hain. Because at the end of the quarter, it will be a very hard discussion that you have done a lot, but there is no output. And nobody is saying that you should only be output. You should all be focused on input. But I think a leader's core job in that system is to make sure that planning sahi hai. Aap apne resources ko sahi tarike se allocate kar rahe ho, and you're working on the right inputs. You don't get it right the first time. I think we've spent 3 or 4 quarters and we are still tinkering. And that's the process. That's exactly why OKRs work, right? As long as you're improving, as long as your inputs that you're focusing on are getting better and better, company will do well. And I think people are also happy if they just are aligned and they're not blamed in the end ki, hey, you know, XYZ output nahi aaya. Agar yaar leader ko clarity nahi hai ki output ke liye kya input chahiye, to wo bichara ya bichari kya karegi, right? So it's also a good realization for a leader, which I missed honestly. In my first 7-8 years, I always thought output not coming was that person's fault and not my fault in making sure that they were working on the right things. Because this distinction was never clear, right? That have you clearly aligned on the input tasks that get us there, or the small key results that will actually lead to the final higher level end objective, right? So we follow OKR to the T, and being a little bureaucratic, if I can call it, it takes a lot of time to set up the right OKRs, but I think it's okay. I think it helps making sure that we are not, you know, twisting every 2 weeks. It's okay. It takes a little bit time. I think we are not as nimble as bootstrap startups, or maybe even a startup that has seed funded. And I think we are not. Honestly, we are not, because we have a largest team and we put OKRs in quickly. Right? It's not all ki chal hustle karke figure out karte hain kya ho raha hai. We are quite methodical while we are trying to run fast, which is slower than just running fast, honestly. But it's okay. I think dheere, and we'll get more and more methodical and lesser fast. But that's where there is now a small twist that will come up in the next few quarters, right? I have now started saying that, okay, as you grow, like we are roughly now a 50 crore revenue business. And as I see the paths to 100 crores, I'm seeing people doing more of the planning and, okay, input sahi rakho, kyunki ab mistake nahi kar sakte, right? Abhi. So I may just build a couple of 0-1 separate team ki chal ab yahan hustle karte hain. Wo karna padega. Otherwise, you lose the innovation edge, right? Does the current leadership team work 20% of the time on innovation? Yes. But I'm seeing it get harder and harder, because your day-to-day activities take up a lot more of your time. Which is where, you know, building the second brand was much harder. Everyone said it's easier because you know how to do it. It's actually much harder because bandwidth kahan hai. Right, your bandwidth between day to day and week to week, and not making sure this doesn't fall, and bandwidth on super innovation, it's not easy to split that task, right? So we actually achieved it by just splitting, but I'm just realizing that maybe there's a different way to do it. So I'm sure the first 3 years, honestly, whether you are unless you know really what, like, I think the questions that people asked, hey, cred ka model kya hai, is theek hai, matlab, they were maybe a little overtly enthusiastic by asking that question. But the fact is, it takes a couple of years to really see where this something will go, right? And it's okay. I think very few people have that path charted out in their mind. It's just hard. It's not easy to have that chart very clear, right? Maybe CureFit had it because, you know, Mukesh, I think, had run the gym, I heard. He knew how to do this, and it was just replicating that, right? Maybe, you know, a bunch of retail folks have it, right? Ki, okay, if I thoda nuance hoga, but yahan pe bhi hum kaise kheech lenge karke. But that is not what the first 3 years of a startup would be.
Yeah, yeah. More about knowing the final pathway and figuring out, you know, the direction towards it. Like knowing the destination, figuring out the pathway, as you mentioned.
Yeah. And the team has to figure it out with basic structures, right? Like I think the OKR system works well for that. As long as you keep defining the right inputs, basis the objective of the org, thoda time lagega, lekin you'll get there. And as Kunal nicely puts it, right? You raise venture capital to buy time, to figure out the right answer. So, I mean, that's we've bought time. Now you have to figure out the right answer.
Fair enough. But I love that, you know, like, so through what I've been able to observe, there's a great mix of almost everything, right? Being able to thrive in the innovative environment while having the systems in place to ensure and check for the inputs in place. But Revant, like I was also trying to understand how much of your time and how much as a leader do you spend in ensuring that, you know, A, things are moving fine, right? The moving parts of the wheel are in place. B, the things that have to change, right? So for instance, that call yesterday, right? How do you extract time for that? And on an overall front as well, given the responsibilities that lie on your shoulder, the vantage point that you have, right? Like you spoke about being redundant, but there will always be things that maybe you know best, right? So how are you able to maybe structure for yourself and your thoughts and maybe also understand that I'm systematically going to reassess this, right? Or maybe think about this, which is a 1 year down the line goal, which my team is not focusing on because they are looking at the quarter down the line. But I'd love to understand how do you maybe, you know, structure or plan for the unexpected circumstances and things like that, right?
So I think tough to plan for unexpected. Yeah, I think everything, because we are still in our first couple of years journey, a lot of unexpected stuff comes up. But I think the OKR system helps beautifully in that as well, right? Once you decide on inputs, then you just need to follow up and ask the question that, is there any help needed to achieve the inputs, right? People will come back with two things. Actually, only one thing, which is resources. It's either time that, Revan, can you please be patient? Roz mat jaantao, right? Second could be money, that we need budgets to do something like that. That's also a resource. The third is people, right? Hey, I need a couple of resources to do this, right? That's the core first decision point that I need to be involved in, right? It impacts P&L and balance sheet, which I have a much better view of than folks as well, right? Those are things that we discuss almost every second day, because you will always be blocking and tackling. As long as the inputs are clear, decision-making becomes very, very easy for someone like me, right? And the inputs are, can you give me data that shows that you need this? You need more budget to do something. You need more people because let's say it's hiring, right? You need a talent acquisition person because you're trying to hire a lot of folks, right? So everything is based on data. And that's one culture that we have kept even in the social media team, for example. I mean, half our folks are data junkies because we measure everything. And if there is a data point that says that, okay, this is the right path that will lead to getting our input tasks done, we follow that path. And that path needs resources. We should think about those resources, right? The other input that is asked for, which is the subjective one, is that happens in a lot of startups that I don't know, I'm stuck. Do you have any ideas as to how do we get there? Those are discussions I love the most because that's what a builder loves, right? Ki cha, chalo, problem statement hai, figure out karte hain. Ye teen cheez try karenge to kya hoga? Isme kya hoga, usme kya hoga, isme kya hoga? Discuss quickly, look at pros, cons. I don't think I'm a good... Actually, one nuance that is very relevant for us is because I love problem solving and I'm very unstructured. I love to sort of go into context switch and go into 20 different problems, come in, look at data, take a decision, move, next. I sort of prefer to have my team be very, very detail-oriented and structured. Like if I work with an unstructured 0-1 person, it's a recipe for disaster because then I have to be structured against that, right? And really think through because has he thought about everything? Has she thought about all possible pros and cons? Wo agar mujhe sochna hai, to it slows down the process. So I sort of over-index on folks that 0-1 builder thought process, all of that, but also be data-oriented and structured because those are the inputs that if they bubble up to my level, I can then help you fast, right? And we can be nimble. And I think that's also a culture that we have built out And that helps, right? You know, even if I have back to back to back, every 30 minutes, there is a slot block. Everyone knows that we don't come into a meeting without an agenda. We don't come in without a pre-read or Excel sheets, right? The moment everyone logs in, Excel sheet opens. This is the data. This is our thought process. Decision point A, B, C. Quick decisions. And most of them, obviously, again, I'm sure most people follow the reversible, irreversible part, right? It's only the irreversible decisions where I actually am quite weak at those as well, right? Which is exactly the opposite with someone like my co-founder. He is the most objective, structured, well thought through decision maker that I have seen. So as soon as an irreversible decision comes up, I said, okay, hold on. I lob it to my co-founder and said, what do you think? Right? This is the data. Yeah. Because, you know, he's a guy, if you give him 100 options, he'll choose the best one. So 99, the har paitre ko dekhega, right? I think McKinsey teaches you that too well. If you give me 100, I'll just boss, bahut zyada kaam hai. Ek kaam karte, let me find the 101st option that just itna analysis nahi karna hai, karke, right? But, you know, startup everyday life is choosing between a couple, right? And some of them may be irreversible decisions where I also need help, honestly, right? So that way, it's pretty clear in my life. Everyone knows irreversible decision. There's another head that's going to join in and help make the decision. Reversible decisions. This is the way. This is the time we slot. And calendars open, right? Anybody can slot in time anytime they want and help get help in making that decision. And I think it was tough in the first 1 year because that's not how maybe everyone was accustomed to working. But now we are getting into a good zone with that.
Fair enough. I love that again. I mean, you know, talks about, you know, the 0-1 building mindset that you've inculcated. And that brings me to, as we enter, you know, the closing phases, I'd love to perhaps also take a moment to understand more about the brief learnings and the best ones from your Rebel journey, right? Because I think so much of what you did there must have come to use. So maybe if you can talk to us about what were some of the key learnings from building separate brands. You've spoken about the fact that, you know, you picked up that 0-1 phase and learnability scale at Rebel. You would build something, move on to the next, build something, move on to the next, right? So would love to understand how was that, you know, an advantage in this journey? What were really special learnings to your building phase at Rebel? I think that would be great to understand.
You know, honestly, if you ask me, everything that I'm doing today is part and parcel of what I learned at Rebel, right? So anything good that you took out of this conversation is a testament of what I realized that, achha, ye nahi karna chahiye, this is a better way, right? I have acknowledged that before, but I can't thank Jaydeep enough for giving me that opportunity to make so many mistakes at Rebel, right? Because we keep improving in life, right? And I think a lot of what I'm able to do today is because I was allowed to do a lot of mistakes and fail at Rebel, right? And there were enough failures. And obviously, no one talks about failures per se. But I don't think I was ever structured at Rebel. I never worked with large teams. It was actually my Achilles heel because I've always been 0-1. I could only work with max 1 or 2 people. I think I was quite a micromanager. I was quite authoritarian and used to say, ki yaar, aise hi karna hai kyunki maine dimag lagaya karke. All of what I mentioned to you is how I'm learning to actually be a CEO for the first time. Because as a operator, this is a lot of pressure, right? In the end, you kuch bhi ho jaye na, ab agar high ownership person ho, but agar aap CEO nahi ho, to you are like driven, because you know there is someone above you to take that final call ki, hey, ye mat kar kar, right? Because this is not the right thing. So you are unabashedly just executing. I need to be much more thoughtful now as a CEO because there is no one above to sort of tell me that, hey, don't do this, right? Honestly, a lot of things that I just mentioned are things that I discovered at Rebel, or I realized that I was doing something opposite and that was not working, and therefore maybe this is a better option. And again, I played multiple roles there, right? Whether it was finance, marketing, product, or actually building brands. And I realized a lot of those successes were also because there were 2 or 3 key folks who were as high ownership as involved in creating that value, right? So one of the biggest misses that I learned later was that the amount of success that we got at Rebel was shared because a lot of folks and the org culture was like that, right? When I was there, I used to think ki sare har cheez mere wajah se ho rahi hai karke. when I moved on and then reflected and I realized that, oh no, because, you know, these things were also there. It's very hard to see it when you're in the, it's like you're at war, tum soldier ho. तो तुम्हें तुम्हें तो लगता है कि मैंने 100 लोगों को मारा है तो भाई वॉर तो मैं जिता रहा हूं करके, राइट? यू कांट सी दैट somebody is also killed 20, somebody is other killed 20, and all of that together is actually leading to that success, right? It took a while actually for me to realize that how important it is for the larger team to really feel the same amount of ownership and passion to build it, as well as how the team actually comes together to build something out. If I had to say one statement, the overall culture of building and sort of thinking of creating value and getting access to a platform that allows you to thrive is the highest amount of learning that I got there, which we are trying to replicate here, right? Bunch of other things were actually what I did wrong, which I'm trying to correct here, if you ask me.
Yeah, no, I completely love the fact that you're being so honest and candid about it. One of your specialties, definitely. But Revant, interestingly, again, I was just thinking about this. I'll just put it out there. I heard one of, so I think the founder of Asana was also the co-founder of Facebook. And he had mentioned in one of the interviews that there's a certain joy in being able to challenge yourself and do it the second time, right? Like just being able to know within you that, okay, I did it once, but can I do it again and be able to do that, right? But for you, did it ever occur to you, or was this ever a limitation or a challenge for you to be able to just question yourself that, you know, let's say, okay, I did this once, but that was with a team and there were, of course, multiple stakeholders, all of that. But now I'm going to, you know, sail my own ship. And I know there are a lot of like no credit lost again with the team. But was it ever a challenge? Was it ever something that you thought about deeply that, you know, can I recreate this? And did that become ever a motivation for you when you were setting out on this journey?
So, yeah, honestly, no. See, motivations for me is what gives me joy. Okay. What gives me joy is to build. If I can invest in 100 entrepreneurs and help them build, that's also building, which is why I took the call to join K-Start, right? I just thought, let me figure out if that gives me joy. That gave me a lot of joy, right? Circumstances didn't lead to us continuing that, but otherwise I would have loved. I love, and that's why I continue to, you know, angel invest and work with entrepreneurs and problem solve. So actually, core kya hai na, mera ek addiction hai. Mera addiction hai problem solving ka, theek hai? And it's how do you scratch that itch, right? There are different ways to scratch that itch. You can scratch that itch as an operator. You can scratch that itch as an entrepreneur. You can scratch that itch as a high involvement angel investor. I don't know. Like there are different ways to do it, right? Honestly, if you ask me, I'm just scratching that itch. And in the quest for it, does value get created? Yes. Is that important? Yes. But I don't think it's about proving anything to myself or to somebody or to create value that drives me to do this, which may not help. Let's say, you know, a typical, I see this a lot, right? There are a lot of folks today who come in and say that, hey, now that I'm seeing ESOP value being created, I want to know, what's your vision? Will this be a $10 billion company? I'm like, yeah, nahi hoga. Agar aapko wo aasha hai, to mat aao, because I don't know where this will go, right? Similarly, there are these traditional questions that sometimes investors would look at, right? Ki, hey, is this a $1 billion company? Would I want to create that much value? Yes, but I don't think that was the purpose of starting this. Or so I sort of think about it a little differently. And again, I think therefore, so a lot of people ask, right, and how is it that before your idea was fructified, you could actually raise the capital? It's because I think people, and see, Sequoia was there from day one in Rebel, right? So they've seen this kida or that itch jo hai mujhe, right, very closely. Mukul's known me for years, right, at Elevation. So I think for them also, it was, yeah, see, it's not very clear, but we think that if he keeps enjoying what he does, he will create value in the future. And I'm not guessing what made them take the call, but I think people who are close to me do recognize that this is a strength and a weakness as well, right? Because it's a weakness, because you don't, if it's not exciting you, then I'll step back and say it's not that exciting, right? Like my co-founder does tell me that a lot of the mundane things, as I would not say mundane, a lot of the process-oriented things like logistics or warehousing don't excite me that much, right? Because they are more process. But I come up with the idea ki yaar alag tarike se logistics karte hain, like ye to theek hai, right? So it's a weakness as well, right? So I don't somehow get into very detail oriented things if the solution is to do it incrementally better, right? So that's a, and that's why I love having him there, right? Because he's there to thankfully make sure that mere quest of this six marne mein wicket nahi gul ho rahi hai, right? Because that's the pitfall of trying to hit a six all the time, right? But that's how, that's what drives me, yaar. I don't think it's in fact, if anything, it's harder, yaar. Behrouz is 200 crores plus, puts more pressure on me to think about ki, you know, how do you top that, right? But I just love what I'm doing right now. Hopefully that love will continue. And that's the biggest advantage of being CEO, right? If there's something that's not that exciting, you can say ki nahi yaar isko aur, and as long as it's value creating, because if you think big, you will create value. So then all interest gets aligned, right? Everybody has skin in the game ki theek hai, he's not going to be conservative and say, achha, yahan pe itna cash rakho taki hum, we become a very, in the next 1 year, we should be so efficient that we are making 30% EBITDA and it's okay if we don't grow, right? That's not exciting for me today, right? I'm not saying that we should not create profit. We definitely should in the future, but we should first think big, right? Honestly.
Fair enough. Wow. That's very, very different and interesting to hear. Great. I think this has been wonderful in the entirety of, you know, how we've gone the full circle. As we conclude what has been a beautiful conversation, I'd love to just understand that, you know, as Revant, and let's forget Mosaic, Rebel and everything aside, right? Like, how do you look at, let's say, how you spend your time, how you make decisions, how you trust people with that founder pool that you have, and everything? Like, how do you as a person grow enough to ensure that your actions are, if not at par, but always? So that problem solving itch beyond the problems, what is more to Revant than beyond Mosaic, is something that I would love to understand and know. And if you have any parting words of wisdom further, at the expense of being stereotypical, I think I would love to understand, you know, what those parting wisdom words are, but also what goes more to how you have shaped everything. Because large part of my learnings from your journey are purely the passion with which you come on the table day in, day out, right? Like, we've not spoken enough to judge what happens on a daily basis, but I can just feel the vigor and vibe. And every time you speak or have spoken about something, it just reflects, right? But what goes behind doing that, right? What goes behind keeping that spirit up even in the worst of days? I remember once we were, I think, chatting and you said that, you know, morning starts with sales, so not so great. And this is like 6 months back. So that was, how do you, you know, as a person, what is it that keeps you going, and what's that secret? I think would be lovely to understand and get this on a close.
Yeah. I think I've spoken about this before, but I love to talk to more entrepreneurs, and I am now, I don't think it's a very specific model as such, but I see two extremes, right? One side, you talk to entrepreneurs to get a sense of how do they think, how do they make decisions, and how do they see their business, and therefore are there opportunities that sort of spark, do they spark my ideas in me as well, right? Achha, oh. ऐसे भी हो सकता है करके, अगर वो अपने बिजनेस में ऐसे सोच रहा है तो दैट यू नो, बिकॉज आई थिंक द ब्रेन इज वायर्ड वेरी वेरी वियर्डली, राइट? यू गेट ऑल ऑफ दीज इंटरेस्टिंग आइडियाज व्हेन यू स्पेंड टाइम विद अदर एंटरप्रेन्योर्स, राइट? एंड आई एम नॉट टॉकिंग अबाउट द सेम सेक्टर ऑल्सो, लाइक आई वॉज टॉकिंग टू समवन हु डज एग्रीटेक, एंड यू नो द काइंड ऑफ आइडियाज यू वर डिस्कसिंग, इट जस्ट मेक्स इट सो इंटरेस्टिंग दैट यू स्टार्ट गेटिंग मोर आइडियाज इन योर बिजनेस, राइट? एंड एट द अदर एंड, एंड दीज आर मे बी आई वुड से younger founders or founders who are in the first 2 years of the journey, because that's where they are also brainstorming a lot with you, right? Jamming with you. That's fun. That just leads to so much creative ideas for me as well. And at the other end, I prefer to speak to founders who are 3 years plus into their journey and really candidly asking them that, hey, this is where I'm stuck, right? How do I think about it? And I think that helps a lot in about what you said, right? How do you know you are making the right decisions, right? How do you know you are on the right path? And you need a constant pool of feedback that's coming in. So I think senior founders to make sure that your inputs are right, and younger founders to get that 0-1 spark on ideas that come in. And that is, again, you can call it an addiction, but that's what keeps me, apart from the 8-10 hours of team calls, I try and sort of fit in a couple of hours of these every week so that there's something happening on both ends as well. Right? Because I think now I'm hearing a couple of senior founders in India saying that leadership coaching or CEO coaching is something that should become a norm. But this is effectively CEO coaching, right? I mean, there are no coaches, but other founders who can help you think better, right? And what is coaching, but apart from how do you make the right decisions all the time? Because even if I, in fact, you know, Mukul does this very, very, and he's the one who actually guided me on this, right? Whenever I used to go to him as a board member, he used to say, like, this is how I would think about it. But in the end, I'm an investor. I've never done a company, right? I think you should talk to this founder because I have seen him get through decisions like this well in the past, right? That was actually the initial, I never knew this is how you do it, right? So after two or three times when he did that and said, talk to this, and he would point to different founders, right? Because he'll say, I have seen in my journey, iske similar kuch tha experience aisa. That's the way he's pattern matching, right? And then I realized that, okay, one is, I can always ask him which founder should I reach out to, but the others, you will gradually find that pool to speak to because gradually aapko samajh mein aa jayega ki kaun kaise, aur aapka business, aap ek hi founder se bar bar baat karoge na, usko aapka business pata hai, to wo thoda sa aur acche se pattern matching karke aapko advice de pata hai. So that's where the, as I said, you know, the mentor pool comes in. Gradually figure out a way to build 4 or 5 founders who are with you in the journey, which is where I would love to see angel investing in this merge, right? Somewhere where it's more about more mentoring than just money, right? And identifying specifically folks who can be part of that journey as well and just continuously mentor or help in the right decision-making process for the business as such.
Right. Wow. That was great. Thanks for sharing that. And I think that brings it to a great close. But any parting words, Revanth, like anything you would like to leave us with, anything that you think young future founders can, you know, take away with? Because the way I like to think of it, this is all wisdom for the journey. Those folks are already treading, might as well benefit from those close conversations from you. But those who are thinking to get on this pathway can definitely use some parting summaries of what you think are learnings that have worked best for you.
So I don't think it's worked for me yet, but I need to figure out a way to take less stress, be more at peace with the fact that even after doing so much, things will not be in your control and you will have to learn to live with it. I don't know how to get there yet. I've got a lot of advice on meditation and music and yoga. Not got there yet, but I'm sure a lot of founders struggle with that. So if you know, you can get on that path early, do that, but figure out a way to take less stress, spend more time with family. Again, not saying that I have managed to do that, but trying to get there, right? It's not that easy, but let's see, hopefully. See, it's a tough country. We are not the US where building businesses, I think, is far easier than building in India. Simpler country, simpler infra, higher GDP per capita. We know all of that data right now. In fact, I'm very happy to see so many founders now build from India for the world, right? I think we'll see a lot more interesting, less stressful businesses, far more value-accretive businesses maybe coming out in the next 10 years, which is a great place to be for India. I mean, it's a good thing for the ecosystem. But at least even those who are building for India, hopefully will figure out easier ways to get there.
Yeah, for sure. But I can say safely that I couldn't detect that chip on your shoulder. But if it is there, I'm sure it's going to get easier and we're going to see Mosaic as a brand, as a house of brands really thrive. Thank you so much, Revanth, for your time. I think this has been more than spectacular and I've truly loved the wait that we've had to do till this episode because this has been truly worth the wait. Thank you so much for your time. I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. And I'm sure this is going to add a lot of value to everybody out there.
No, thanks for having me, Jivrat. And again, kudos to being so persistent and making sure that you keep us honest. And I think it takes a lot to do something like this, being persistent, get founders on, to take time away from their schedule and do this is not easy, but it requires a person who's honest, humble, and persistent to get us there. So thank you for keeping us honest in that sense.
Awesome. I thoroughly loved this. Revan's natural love for building is evidently visible and one that is extremely contagious. What particularly stood out for me is the great mix of structure and madness, along with the great balance of speed and stability. Terrific learnings indeed for anyone and everyone looking to inculcate the 0-to-1 building mindset. That was it from the 54th episode of the Indian Silicon Valley podcast, The 0-to-1 Mindset, with Revan Bhatte, the co-founder of Mosaic Wellness. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. Do follow the podcast on the audio streaming platform of your choice, drop in a review, and subscribe to our WhatsApp newsletter to get all the updates directly on your inbox. Thanks again. I will see you next week for another episode. Till then, I hope you recall. If you never try, you'll never know. Stay tuned and keep building.